2016 says I just whipped your ass.
Hulkamania is over.
Everybody's got a price for the $1 million man.
Jesse the Body Ventura.
I'm Johnny B. Van, the bad man of World Championship Wrestling.
When I first came to the WWE, women's wrestling was a joke. And I proceeded to single-handedly change everything.
At SummerSlam, I will be there for one reason, and one reason only. To see that justice is served.
Hello, everybody. Why not? You're listening to Ring the Bell Radio, a wrestling podcast. Of course, you knew that already. That's how you found us, because you were looking for an excellent and awesome, magnanimous, superior wrestling podcast to listen to. I don't have Rabbis here to complain to the king about, so I guess I got to introduce the king. Here he is, live and in black and white. He is your highness, the great, the powerful, the erotic, king of all wrestling, King Logan.
Did you start the show off with "Hello, everybody"? Why not? That's what.
Yes,
I was like, I've been waiting for the past like 45 seconds of the intro to be like, what? Did he just say "Why not"?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Why not say "Why not"?
Yeah. Welcome to Ring the Bell Radio. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Just why not? Yeah.
Hey, why not?
Hello, my adoring and magnanimous and amazing fans. Welcome back to Ring the Bell Radio with me, King Logan. The only reason to why not. So that's great. You got to put that at the beginning of everything now. That's just awesome. Hello, everybody. Why not? That's
why not? You're here.
That's your new catchphrase now.
Why not? Ring the Bell Radio, wrestling podcast. Why not? Sure, why not?
Wow, why not?
excuse me. You could, that went down the wrong way.
You could be doing drugs or listening to Ring the Bell Radio. Why not?
Why not? Well, we don't want you doing drugs, but if you are, why not?
Why not? It's going to be an interesting show if you're high.
Yeah, where's the rabbi? He can attest to that.
Yeah,
one.
He can.
Oh man, where is the rabbi this week?
No,
he had a family thing, didn't he?
I don't know.
I don't know. I was just guessing there, but the Rabbi Barris is not around again. He could be in hospital. He could be drunk. He could be got caught up in those very precarious movies that are put out there. You know, I don't know. Who knows? But I will tell you this, and we're going to get to it. We're going to wait until the rabbi comes back. And I didn't even tell you this off air. We received a fan email.
Yes.
From Brian.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, now I can't wait.
But I was going to read it this week. And this is... It's interesting. I don't want to say it's lengthy, but it's not just a three sentence paragraph, but it's worth every word. Okay. Of course, we haven't heard from Brian in a couple years now. He would send an email in, what, like once a year?
Yeah.
or something like that. And then, but they were always, he was always had nothing to do with wrestling. And he was always talking, complaining or ranting about something that was going on in his life. And we've invited him on the show numerous times, never takes us up on it. We tried to give him best advice we can, you know, but we're going to have to wait until Rabbi Barris returns to read it.
Yes, definitely.
I don't want him to miss this one.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. So excited.
Yes. Yes. So as we said two shows ago, we were going to do it on our last show, but we decided no, because we were talking about Blue Kane and WWE Fastlane on the last show. So we are now going to, we're going to play the Undertaker versus Kane match. And we're actually going to talk about what's going on as we're watching it.
Undertaker versus Nails.
I'm sorry, Nails. What did I say? Kane?
Kane.
Okay, Undertaker versus Nails match. And then we'll be explaining what's going on as it's happening. So I'm going to put that up on our monitor there. As I'm getting ready, as I'm getting this ready, Logan, do you want to bring us a up to date of why this match has happened?
Yes. Yeah, so Nails just come off beating Big Boss Man, and basically they needed a baby face to take him down. Now this was in an area in the 90s where the Undertaker was a kind of baby face, but not really. So anyway, the idea was is you would have these two match up, and it would culminate at the end of the year or some such. The problem is with this is it never took off really, and a lot of that apparently was how this was perceived in the live shows. So the video we're going to watch here is actually a fan video of a live show of Undertaker versus Nails. So this was never on TV. This is where they do the test beds. So we're going to watch it now and see if we think it would work as a mainstream match or if it just didn't work. So
yeah. So this was from November 28th, 1992, from Madison Square Garden. And as you can see right there, when we start the video, Nails is making his way into the ring. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go.
So Nails is already in the ring waiting for Taker, basically.
Yeah, they're doing the introduction right now.
Yeah. So he's got his Billy Club baton, whatever the hell you Americans call them. £328.
I think that's what he said.
Wow. 228. 228? 328? I don't know.
Oh, I hear the music.
Listen to that.
There he is. There he is.
Yes.
Oh, where'd he go? Where'd he go?
Come on, man. Turn autofocus off. Jesus.
There's Paul Bearer. There he is.
I like the security guard is just leaning there on the barricades with his arms crossed. He's like, well, at least I'm getting paid for this.
What's that security guy going to do? Look at this. You know what I love about this? Nope. He didn't need all that extra stuff during this time.
No.
Look at the presence of the Taker just walking in there.
The Taker's now in the ring. Paul Bear's handing off the urn.
Oh, I missed this. I missed this. Look at this.
So cool to have Paul Bear take off his jacket.
I love that outfit of the Taker, man. That's first generation Undertaker.
That is my favorite Undertaker. Oh, I love how he took his hat.
There's Nails in the corner still with the nightstick, Billy Club, whatever you want to call it.
Right, so bear in mind, Nails is a comparable size to Undertaker. So they're probably in the same weight league, and they're definitely in the same height league as well.
Yeah, right. Well, we're going to see here in a minute. They're in the middle of the ring now doing a stare down face to face. They're pretty same size. They're close.
Okay, Nails is going for jabs, and Taker's not selling any of it.
Oh, I love one. That's what made the Undertaker. Is he? You couldn't hurt him. That man is not alive.
His no-sells are fantastic.
But it worked with him because of that was the character.
So Nails got in the corner. He just got choked out.
He just reversed it into the boot. Undertaker just hit him with a big boot. Uh-oh.
He's now, getting old school.
I was going to say, now, ladies and gentlemen, this would be called old school, but at the time, this was new school. For those of you who don't know what the old school is, that's when he's holding the opponent and he gets up and walks on the top rope and then jumps off of it and punches him.
You know, which is funny because the in-universe explanation for that is he hypnotizes the opponent.
Oh.
And that's why they can't get out of the arm bar while he climbs up the ropes.
So okay. Nails just clotheslined the Undertaker and he flipped over the top rope onto the floor and landed right on his feet. But it looks like some of those punches are now starting to have an effect on the Taker.
You know, it's
crowd
funny,
seems kind of, sorry.
Yeah, crowd's kind of, oh, here we go. I was about to say, crowd is kind of dying out there a little bit.
But I was just going to say. Where's the Taker? Oh, there
Taker's
he is.
Getting back in the ring. Now, the funny thing is back in the 90s, Taker only really had like four moves. And it was like choke you. Do his like wide open hand uppercut thing, old school, and the tombstone. That's pretty much all he had.
He did that clothesline where he would jump up in the air and like bring you down with the clothesline. If he does it, I'll point it out. Not too much really happening in this match.
No,
it's kind of lukewarm to it.
So far, I'm not impressed. Taker is totally leading this match. I mean, he's leading the whole match.
You think?
Man, audio on this is terrible. The ring sounds like it's got a duvet on it.
You got to remember, this is 1992 with the big VHS style camera.
Yep. Wonder how this guy actually got to film it all.
Well,
so we're fighting on the outside of the ring. Nails is hitting Taker's head off the ring, and the nothing special is going on at all.
I'm waiting for him to do that where he flips his hair back. Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Oh, God. That might actually hurt.
Nails, whip Taker into the post, and this is the old days where they weren't screens, they were just metal posts.
Yeah.
And it sounded pretty rough. Okay, so both men getting back inside of the ring now. Nails has the advantage on his feet. And we're looking at a power slam. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, the first sit up. Okay.
No, I mean, look at the way Taker almost lands on his head. On the first one, he came down hard on his neck.
This is what the people want to see.
He
keeps getting up.
Yeah.
And you see Nails going like, what?
So we've done two slams and a backbreaker, kind of a side saddle backbreaker.
Ooh! He just hit him with the billy club.
Him with a nightstick. All right, so Nails hit him with a nightstick. and straight into a sleeper hold, the most boringest wrestling move ever.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Well, it's meant to put you to sleep.
I like literally, he just knocked Taker out. Taker just went stiff as a board and just fell to the ground. And now he's going to do the Taker kip up.
Now, what's Paul Bearer doing getting involved in that? He's distracting Nails.
Yeah, the Taker.
Did you see that? Nails has every right to go out and punch him now because he was distracting him.
The Taker needed time to replenish his evil energy. Dark energy.
Wait a minute. Nails just said, heck with it. I'm leaving.
So Nails is walking down the entranceway, and Taker's following him.
Is that how it ended? Wait a minute, where'd they go? Uh-oh.
Oh, here they come. They're coming back.
Following them back. Okay.
Nails is scared. He's backing up again to the ring. Taker's doing his Taker walk. Oh, nice chop by the Taker. Get Nails back inside the ring. Taker's in. Nails is begging for mercy. Oh, it's a low blow on the Taker. Off the ropes.
Here it is. Oh, nope.
Oh, okay. Choke slam. Straight into a choke slam. And 3-2-1. Oh, yeah, you're down. It's over. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, okay, so.
Hold on, let's see what happens here. Yeah, there might be a little.
Yeah, there might be some more. Yeah, there. Oh, Taker. Well, Bear almost fell over. All right, what's Taker doing? Just kind of looking around Nails.
Wasn't doing the body bags yet, was he?
Nah, Paul Bear is telling him to get out.
Oh, yes, we gotta get out of here, anyway. We gotta go. Yep, I think that was it.
Well, Taker got a standing ovation.
So there you have it. The Undertaker versus Nails match that we know that was at a house show. And they were trying to set up the feud. Like, what do we always say? To gauge how the response would be.
Mm-hmm.
Judging by that match, now we don't know. Here's the thing that we don't know, Logan. Is that the first dark house show they did? Could that have been the third or fourth one they did?
Yeah.
Before they really start putting it on TV. That match is, as you would say, King, really nothing to write home about.
None.
Crowd was not into it at all. The couple times that The Undertaker did his immediate sit-ups, you heard the crowd pop because that's the stuff they wanted to see. It was very, I want to say transparent. It was very bland.
Yes.
That's the word I'm looking for. It was very bland. There was nothing to it. There was no meat and potatoes to it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very bland. It needed a little bit of seasoning there, which it didn't have.
You see, and the problem that I think a lot of people get when looking back to these old matches is we've been spoiled, especially from the Attitude Era onwards, where we're so used to seeing high-flying spectacle, crazy technical wrestling these days that you sometimes look back on these older matches and you're like, this is boring. Because it doesn't bring the pizzazz that you're used to in the ring. But you have to remember is, you know, these guys were still based as like comic book heroes. You know, you didn't want to offend too much. You didn't want to hurt your guys too much. And it wasn't until the WCW and like the Monday Night War where it was a constant thing of trying to overdo what the other company was.
Yes.
But this is like classic wrestling.
It is.
You know, Macho Man may just have an elbow drop as his finishing move, but I tell you what, when you watch him drop that at WrestleMania, it is probably one of the great, him versus Ricky Steamboat, it's probably one of the coolest things to see in action.
Because people, you call it just an elbow, but when he would go to that top rope, what was the first thing everyone did? They would all immediately get on their feet and have their cameras ready.
Yeah.
Because he was getting ready to do that elbow.
And he dropped such a gorgeous elbow drop.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because you can see these classic wrestlers do regular moves that we're spoiled with nowadays, and they can still make them look beautiful, graceful even.
See, what I didn't like in this match is, I think it was good that they had Nails do the, oh no, everything I've done, he keeps getting up, so he was kind of one of those, I got to get out of here. And that's where they walked down the aisle through the curtain, and then Taker brought him back. The problem I have is okay, he did the slam down, Taker sits up, right? Mm-hmm. He did the second slam down, Taker sits up. He did something else. What was it, like a
side saddle suplex?
Side suplex. Taker slowly gets up. Then they do some other moves. Get outside of the ring. Taker comes back in. You know, Nails is beating him up. Taker comes back in, or they both get back in. He does something. Taker's laying on the ground. And then all of a sudden, he starts jawing off at Paul Bear. And then before the Taker even sits up, Nails was going, no, I'm done. Like, that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, the time to do that would have been after the third move, immediate move you did, where he sits up. That's where it's like, whoa, I'm out of here. There was too much time. That's just me super analyzing. You know, and that kind of like, what did they need to do? Did they need to fill time? Did they forget what they were supposed to do?
See, I would have done it. This is how I would have planned the match, okay? And hear me out, because it sounds a bit weird.
Well, why not?
I would have had Nails completely dominate the match. Okay, completely dominate the match. Nightstick beating him, the whole shebang, okay? And then, after like the last nightstick blow, Taker goes down, then does a sit-up, gets up, choke slam, or, you know, whatever. The reason being is it works out for both wrestlers. Nails gets to look like a badass, okay, yeah, which is always good in standing. Undertaker gets to look like an even more badass because he just took all that beating, got up, and it's like it didn't affect him whatsoever. Even though Taker wins, Nails comes out with the rub.
Yeah, right. That's just, that reminds me of, remember when we watched SummerSlam 92? Kamala.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did the splash, second rope splash, top rope big splash. Taker didn't move every splash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kamala, Kimchi, and Harvey Whippleman are getting Kamala out of the ring. They're going, come on, Paul Bearer. Remember, Paul Bearer was holding the urn up, and then he just goes, slaps the ring apron, and then he just sits up.
Yeah.
Stares at him, gets up, starts walking to him like nothing ever happened.
Exactly. Made
that defined the character even more right there.
And it still makes Kamala look like a badass for dishing out the punishment, but still lets you keep Taker looking like a badass as well for taking all that punishment. That, and they could have easily set that kind of situation up with Nails and Taker. Because the problem is Taker, and you'll see this if you watch through the decades, that they had a problem with Taker that they didn't know what to do with him because they made him so awesome and, you know, immortal and, you know, all this jazz that they just kept on throwing like big guys against him. I mean, look at Taker and Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah. You know,
Taker and Carly.
Bundy.
Yep. Look at these matches. Just the problem that Taker works. Don't get me wrong. Mark Calloway can wrestle a paper bag and make it look like main event. Okay.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. But in those situations, Taker was trying to do all the work as well, because these guys either weren't professionally trained wrestlers or were out of their prime or were suffering from horrendous injuries.
That was Giant Gonzalez. Him and Taker were actually friends, but he had a lot of ailments.
Yeah. Same with Carly, couldn't really move in the ring too well.
Yeah.
Because of his knees. Bundy was pushing 55.
At that time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it in those days, 55 was old to be wrestling. Yeah. It's still old. If you could do it at 55, then do it. Look at Ricky Morton, Rock and Roll Express. Mm-hmm. He's older than 55. And you go watch a match of his, even today or the last couple of years, he hasn't lost a step from even 30 years ago. I'm just saying, but Bundy, another story for another day.
Bundy was past his prime. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
So you have The Undertaker just going up against giants. There's no real stories for him to push forward. There's no real, like, him versus a different style of wrestling. It just became him versus big guy smack you wrestling. And
big guys, is that a WWX event?
It is.
Big guys smack you.
He went through years of that. But there's a way that you can do it to make it look good. And they've done it before. I just didn't see it working with Nails. I really didn't. And it might be as well, because Nails wasn't exactly liked too well in the locker room.
No, he wasn't.
You know, so Mark was obviously new to the scene, didn't want to rock any boats, you know, didn't want to say anything.
Well,
but
he'd been there, this is probably 2 years now he's been there. By 92, he would have been there 2 years. Because November of 1990 is when he debuted as Taker.
Yeah, so you're like a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
But he wasn't head of the locker room like
He wasn't
later on, you know, he's still 2 years in. You know, we've seen people released after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You know, it's easy for those people to get knocked off in 2 years. So,
yeah,
I mean,
I didn't want to interrupt the King.
No, I was waiting for you now. Jesus.
But no, I was going to come up and tell you something, that after Nails, and then we can get back into finishing up with this match, that after Nails got let go from WWE, he showed up in WCW as the Prisoner.
Prisoner.
That is legitimate. Look at that.
Love it.
Do you think it's anything different other than the name? The Prisoner. Here it says, after being fired by WWF, the guy who was Nails, I can't pronounce that last name, but and Vince McMahon sued each other, and both suits were eventually dismissed. Nails even testified against Vince McMahon in his steroid trial. He would sign with World Championship Wrestling to be a very lucrative contract worth over $100,000. He would be giving the moniker of "quote unquote, the Prisoner" and lose to Sting at Slamboree 1993. He was never used again in WCW after that match. So he got a $100,000 contract, was in one pay per view, which means he had to be on some of the TV shows leading up to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether it be WCW Saturday Night, because Nitro wasn't a thing yet. Not till 95, right? So
95, 96.
Yeah. So he was probably, he had one match on TV and then he was never used again after that. How about that?
Yeah. After getting fired from, I'm just reading it up here as well, The Prisoner, he returned to WCW for several appearances over a 6 month period between 97 and 98. His return began in October 6, 97. When he defeated Yuji Naka in a dark match on Monday Nitro. He lost his appearance on April 17th, 1998, where he defeated Barry Darslow at a house show.
Darslow, you know who that is?
Who?
Barry Darso is Smash from Demolition.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Also the Repo Man.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
Later career after WCW, he went independent. He feuded with Road Warrior Hawk on the independents. He was the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance heavyweight champion in 94. Dropped the belt to Brutus Beefcake. Wrestled on Jim Crockett's short-lived promotion, WWN, as the Convict. My God. My Jesus.
Typecast.
Yeah. He also wrestled for New Japanese Pro Wrestling. Appeared in Paul Amperstein's American Wrestling Federation as Nails, pronounced Nails with a Z, alongside many WWF wrestlers from the 80s and 90s. He lost to Jimmy Snuka. His last match was a loss to Matt Burns by disqualification on April 25th, 2001.
Really?
Yeah. He later retired from wrestling and later disappeared.
He disappeared. Well, I have something here that, how do we say his last name? Wackles?
Wackles, I think.
Wackles. I don't mean to make fun of someone's name, but that's funny. Sorry. So the question remains, whatever happened to Kevin, quote unquote, Nails Wackles? He has become very secluded and no longer visible in the pro wrestling world. He worked as a salesman selling trailers in Bloomington, Minnesota. Wackles resides in Minneapolis, Minnesota area with his family.
Mm, there you go.
There you go. So that's the you could sleep tonight. You never don't have to worry anymore what happened with Nails there, King. Okay, because he was trying to beat up on your beloved Undertaker.
Yes, he was.
But, okay, so over to the King rating system for this match.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to have to give it, just simply because Undertaker is in it.
Of course.
I'm going to give it two Undertaker urns.
So when we're referencing an Undertaker match, it's urns.
Yes.
Out of how many? Five?
Five urns.
Okay. So two urns out of five.
Unless it's Shawn Michaels versus Taker, like both matches, then it's 10 urns instantly.
Oh, 10 urns. Okay.
Because yeah, those matches are fucking phenomenal.
I think that's this is the first time you've given an urn rating.
Yeah, rating of two.
What do you usually do? Hearts or clubs? Or no, you do like flushes or something. I don't know.
I got something different every week.
Well, that doesn't help me. That's harder to keep track of now.
That's irrelevant what you think. The people want it.
Who do you think you are?
I'm King Logan. That's who I am.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. why not? Indeed. But there you have it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go watch that match, like we said, it was a home movie. It's from a house show. It was, as the King would say, it's a fan video. So you could just go to YouTube and type in Undertaker versus Nails. And that will come up. And I think you'll also be able to come up in the searches is where you have the Undertaker and Nails confrontation. So you'll be able to get the little backstory, which the confrontation was more exciting than the match.
Yeah.
Because when the Taker came down and Nails refused to leave the ring, those two just staring at each other, you felt the energy out of that, like, oh my God, let these guys fight. Well, we saw a fight now, and
it wasn't exactly, it just didn't work. Some wrestlers just don't work well with each other, you know?
And that's why they did it on a house show.
Yeah.
They probably did it more than once just to gauge how the audience is, you know. So to our audience, yes, go watch this match and you'll see what we were talking about.
It's an entertaining 10 minutes of Taker history.
There you go. That. We'll file it under that as Taker. Yeah,
Taker history.
Okay. Okay, so before we get going, I have a fan comment from our last show.
Okay.
Okay, that I got to tell you real quick, and then I think we're going to wrap it up here. It has to do with our last show, but we talked about Blue Kane and Fastlane.
Blue Kane.
Okay.
It's got to be Blue Kane.
And this is from our friend Rocky. Okay.
Okay, hi, Rocky.
Yeah, this is from our friend Rocky. And remember how you were saying, I'll just read it and you'll get what he's commenting on, okay?
Okay.
Has to do with Fastlane, though. No Blue Kane. Hey, guys. You know I always enjoy the show. But I am going to have to say it's moments like the Last Man Standing match that you have to remember that it ain't for you, brah. Because Jay and Max both ate it up. It's still for kids at the end of the day. They don't want to see Jon Moxley take a fork to the head or a light bulb burst. They want to see a table break, a safe chair shot. Well, Max wants to see that now as well, but kids in general are loving it. Now, I did feel that Nakamura should have won the belt. Or Damian Priest should have cashed in.
Okay, so I'm let's break it down. My problem wasn't with the level of Last Man Standing violence. It wasn't that kind of thing. I'm not sitting there saying I want to see real blood. I want to see real chair shots. What I do want to see is the least amount of suspension of disbelief of what I need. You know, like, we can sit here and watch a soap opera and, you know, say, well, you know, where do these people live? We never see the streets outside. This house looks kind of like that house. But you could suspend that disbelief. When you're going to do a spot that involves somebody being thrown off something into a table, a chair, whatever you want to do, okay? I'm all for that, and I'm all for safety as well, because these guys, you know, safety's key. But I intend to watch that scene without having to sit there and say, why is there a gap in the bars there? Why are these other bars duct taped or zip tied up? That is blatantly a crash mat. Blatant. There was no attempt to hide the crash mat whatsoever. Now, I know, as a logical person, there's obviously a crash mat there. But again, I shouldn't see it. And that was my problem with the match, was the parts where they were doing high risk, dangerous stuff. The throw off the side there. First of all, I don't want to see the crash mat. Secondly, they took apart the railing on the side of the crowd.
You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, you knew it was going to happen. That's the problem, is I want to be surprised by those spots. I want to be wowed by those spots, not just like, oh, well, obviously there's a gigantic gap at the top of the stairs there. Someone's going off that. You know, it's, again, a suspension of disbelief that you need to turn around and say the match has to be shot in a certain way so you can enjoy the storyline of the match without picking out the bad parts of it. Like, it's if you ever watched, like, an older movie from, like, the 70s or the 80s, and somebody drops off a building or something, and you can blatantly tell on the camera that it's like a dummy falling down the building. Okay, that just takes me out of the element of the movie. So I like to be fooled. I like to be fooled and not sit there and say, well, obviously that's going to happen now because of this. because that takes it away from me. And I already do too much of that when it comes down to matches themselves.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think maybe Nakamura should have won the belt just to kind of move the belt along a little bit. Damian Priest would have been a great choice for it, I think. That would have been really good. Let Seth chase him for the next 6 months or whatever. That would have been a cool ending. I didn't feel the match. Like I said, it's not about that I want attitude level, you know, levels of violence, or that I don't respect the match or anything like that. For me personally, I like to get sucked into the storyline, and I like to not see those things. And it may sound like me being an elitist, but it's just, that's how wrestling works for me. I like to be fooled. So there you go. But I respect your opinion, man. I get what you're saying totally. I do. I just wanted to make sure that that was, you know, kind of out there. It wasn't about the violence that I was looking for. I was more looking at the storyline and how it was portrayed visually. So that's all.
You can find us at ringthebellradio.com. You go there, click the big red button that says listen to the podcast, and you'll take you to our whole catalog of programs. Or you can listen to us on Spotify or your favorite podcast platform. If you'd like to send Logan some love mail, some kingly love mail, he likes it all. Even send him hate mail. He loves it, because you know why? Why not?
Why not?
You could either send it at ringthebellradio@gmail.com. If you're on Instagram, you could always direct messages there. If you're on Twitter, I'm sorry, X.
X.
You could also send us a direct message there. And you know what? We'll read it online. Well, we read all the emails. But how did you always say it, Logan? If it's show worthy. No. I don't want to say it wrong. You said something like if it's worthy for the show. I don't know. I'm saying that wrong. I don't remember.
If it's cool, we might read it.
There you go. Why not?
Why not?
So, you know what? Send us your comments. If you get a chance to watch the Undertaker Nails match, send us your comments of what you think. If you thought it was good, if you thought it was bad, or send us another Undertaker match that you want Logan to watch so he could talk about it.
Yes, let's do that every show.
Every show will have an Undertaker match that Logan has to watch. Okay.
I'll take the challenge on.
Pretty soon, this will be Ring the Bell Radio and Undertaker podcast.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. So, without that, why not?
Why not?
With that being said, hopefully the Rabbi Barris is back next week. You know, he's out wandering again, probably talking to the trees again, you know, because we've seen it firsthand. But other than that, anything left, King Logan?
Why not?
As you said it, why not? We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.